At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Welcome to the Green 19 Podcast. I'm Dominique Yates. I'm joined by Ryan Wood and Tom Silverstein, as always. It was a hot one here in Indianapolis for the joint practice with the Packers and the Colts.
But you know what? It makes a big difference standing on grass at practice and not on a rubber track. It was hot today. But my goodness, if anyone else feeling better? Like, my back feels so much better just standing on grass instead of that rubber track.
It is better on grass.
Well, I'm still sweaty, though. It's been like 30 minutes since we walked off the field. And
I ran out of sweat because I didn't have any more water, so I was out of it.
Yeah, but
they got a media hospitality room spoon.
I have my water here. I'm hydrated.
Yes, I've had like 4 bottles so far up until now. But yeah, we can just kind of run through some things that we observed during this joint practice. And I know you guys spent some time in different areas. You know, you followed the offense on the Packers side, you followed the defense. But we can start with Jordan Love, since he talked with us after practice. And Spoon, you were over there for that. He kind of talked about the surgery and just kind of how the process came to him choosing to have it. What were some of the takeaways from what Jordan said?
Yeah, I think there's no, like, undisclosed story to this. I think he heard it Saturday. He practiced on Monday, and they made a determination. Could he keep playing with it, or should he just get it fixed, and how long would he be out? He determined, it looks like about 2 weeks, so he'd be ready for the regular season. Mm-hmm. Probably a smart decision. You know, it's his left hand. It's not going to be, him missing the week of practice before Seattle isn't the end of the world. If he were going to miss all the rest of camp, including the week leading up to the Lions game, then you'd start to wonder. But he said, if it were regular season, he might not have made that decision. He might have just kept playing with it. So I think in this case, they probably made the right decision. He's got it's a wrap kind of cast kind of thing. But, they're already talking about he could be able to take some throws next week. Now, I don't think he's going to do it in practice, and I don't think he's going to take it any snaps. I'd be surprised, but I think he could probably run through, a workout throwing the ball.
You know what I was thinking? All right, $220 million quarterback. Mm-hmm. There's not a place on this guy's body that you want anything wrong at all. But if you were to pick one place on Jordan Love's body to have a ligament surgery, it would be the left hand.
Yeah, non-throwing.
Like, that would it's not lower base. It's not the legs. It's not soft tissue. It's not his throwing hand. He had the ulnar nerve injury going in the playoffs last year on his right elbow. It's none of that. Like, it affects handoffs, and it affects under-center snaps. That is it. And, that affects that stuff, and a fumble is not good, but it doesn't affect his throwing. He can throw. Like, this is about the best case scenario.
They're going to be able to protect it, I mean, I remember when Favre broke the tip of his right thumb, and it bothered him for almost half the season, and they kept coming up with stuff, and you just could not protect it from getting hit. You kept hitting it on helmets and stuff. So, yeah, I think it's probably about the luckiest place that could have happened.
That's where you would have picked.
Yeah.
Left hand.
Which was going to be a point. You think about some of these injuries, and guys have kind of dodged bullets. A guy that Matt LaFleur kind of talked about today was Romeo Dobbs. Like, there was kind of a quiet moment there at practice when he was down, and turns out it's only just a back injury right now.
For a guy, let's just call it what it is, for a guy that had multiple concussions in a short period of time last year, you see him in practice on a go ball, take a hard fall, and he's not limping, it's not a leg injury, he didn't twist something, But he's just down for a long time. He comes over to the sideline, and he's just kind of there for a long time. You wonder if is this enough? And no, it's not. So that, I mean, that's huge news. Yeah. And it's a back injury. Yeah, Matt LaFleur thought that Romeo Doubs might go today. He didn't. Sure sounds like he should be able to go next week. I mean, he's close, and that's good because, you know, there was a moment when Romeo Doubs went down. Jaden Reed, Dontavian Wicks, and Christian Watson, all, you know, very close in that receiver room. They all went over to check on him. Mm-hmm. All three of those guys are not practicing right now. You know, without Romeo Doubs today, the Packers were without four of their top five receivers.
Yeah,
all the top receivers, Matthew Golden, like that. They need health in that room,
which leads us to this practice with the Colts. It's pretty clear you can see without Jordan Love, without all those receivers, it's just not the same Packers offense. Was there anything at all that you, from your observations, just what you saw from the offense?
It's hard. What it does tell you is that, you know, some combination of receivers going down is going to hurt them this year. Mm-hmm. If it's one or two, maybe they can get away with it, depending who it is. But three, you know, Savion Williams was out today, too. They continue to bring him back really slowly. And that, you know, is affecting, will affect his progress. It did give a couple of receivers a chance to show themselves, and Isaiah Nair, the guy they just picked up, made two more really big catches, and makes you wonder. I think there's another spot there somewhere because of all these injuries, and you know, it also makes you wonder, well, was moving Bo Melton the right decision? You know, I guess they could always move him back, but right now, you know, your receivers are Golden, Julian Hicks, and Mecole Hardman.
And Malik Heath.
Yeah, and Malik Heath, and I forgot about Malik Heath, and he's not having the best camp. No. So, it wasn't. Like, these joint practices are asterisks, you know? I mean, in this case, the Colts were missing a bunch of defensive guys, too. Packers didn't have. It's what LaFleur said. It's good work for him.
Yeah, at least from the running back perspective, you know, not a lot of snaps, but, you know, Marshawn Lloyd was able to get a few snaps. Yes. Emmanuel Wilson was able to get some snaps as well. So at least that group is taking a step to being healthy.
And as far as we know, they didn't get hurt.
Yeah, right. Yeah, at the taping of the podcast, they're still in good health.
You know what I think would be troubling about what's going on at receiver right now? It's not like any of these guys were healthy last year either. You know? I mean, Romeo Doubs had the concussions. Yeah. Dontavian Wicks has gone through injuries. Christian Watson, we know the injury history there. Mm-hmm. And Jaden Reed, I mean, even the playoff game separates his shoulder. So this is a continuation more than it's kind of a blip, a freak occurrence. And I think that that's concerning going forward.
Yeah, but I will say a group that was healthy and seemed to be clicking on all cylinders in this practice with the Colts was the Packers defense. I think you tallied from sacks to interceptions to just how aggressive they played. It seemed like the defense definitely responded after. You said they weren't happy with how the first preseason game went.
Yeah, you know, at this point, we've covered a lot of these joint practices, you know, going back the Texans in 2019, the Jets, last year's the Ravens and the Broncos. I've never seen the Packers defense more dominant than today in a joint practice. I've never seen them as dominant as today. They had 9 sacks and 4 takeaways. On consecutive plays, they had Anthony Richardson had a pass to Adonai Mitchell that he dropped. Keyshawn Nixon intercepted it. The very next rep, Anthony Richardson hits Adonai Mitchell. And before he goes down on a slant, Javon Bullard rips it out. He's off the ground, forces the fumble. Evan Williams, very next rep, recovers the fumble. The Colts had a red zone period. 22 plays from the red zone. They only got in the end zone once. They got in second time, but Carl Brooks literally ran past Anthony Richardson because he's in a red jersey. You cannot touch the quarterback. And it was a blatant sack. They got one touchdown in 22 red zone period. That's as dominant as it gets. Mm-hmm. And I mean, a lot of it, yeah, the Packers defense is really good. Packers defense didn't have Xavier McKinney again today because of that calf injury. He's their best player. So you got to give the Packers defense its due. Kenny Clark said after practice today that even he didn't wait to go home Saturday night. In the locker room for the first time, he's never done this before, 10-year NFL vet, he pulled the defense aside and he lit into him. You know, Kenny Clark played, what, like five snaps? Like, but the effort that he saw, it really ticked him off. And so, because I asked Lucas Van Ness, who had three sacks today. He's having a really good camp.
Yeah.
I asked Kenny Clark, Jeff Hafley kind of lay into you guys? They're all like, no, it was player-led, and it was Kenny Clark-led. Like, Kenny Clark put a charge into this defense, and they responded today in a really big way. With that said, that Colts offense is a joke. It is putrid. They cannot block. Yeah. They don't have a quarterback that can throw. They have drops. They had multiple false starts. So, hey, you know, if you can't do anything else in terms of execution, maybe just play clean. They didn't do that either. So it kind of went from, like, early on in practice, I was thinking Jeff Hafley has to be really happy with what he's seeing right now, to Jeff Hafley can't be happy with this. They're not really getting much of a fight from that Colts offense, and
except
it's a lot of that.
Except in the 2 minute.
And then they get the 2 minute. They give up the touchdown in the 2 minute. Did. It took them three plays from the 1 yard line to get it in. That wasn't great, but they got the touchdown, the 2 point. If Rashawn Gary wouldn't have sacked Anthony Richardson, Lucas Van Ness did. And then the second team 2 minute, Isaiah Simmons has an interception. So yes, the Colts had one bright spot today, and to their credit, that 2 minute is like the most competitive, important drill in practice. So that was a blip. Other than that, I've never seen that dominant of a performance, and that's not hyperbole. Like, that's how one sided it was.
As a quick follow up about Van Ness, he's a guy. He's one of those players, especially guys that's had a few years in the NFL. It's like, okay, you just got to see it on the field to kind of give him any type of, you say, tip of the cap. But in terms of how he has approached OTAs, how he's been during training camp, how he's been even throughout the joint practice and more, at least as of now, he's taken steps in the right direction. But what was your takeaways from the conversation you had with him out on the field after the practice?
The caveat is, we have to see him take this to the regular season. And until he does, proceed with caution.
Yeah.
But he's having a good camp, and I think there's multiple things going on there. First, he has two hands now, right? He had two hands last year. It's just that one of them had a broken thumb and it was in a cast, so he couldn't use it. He's able to use two hands, and as a pass rusher, that makes a world of difference. Lucas Van Ness also said that there's something going on just in the mental game. Like, he's not just more confident, but he's playing more free. When there's a bad play, he's letting it go earlier and not letting it linger and not letting it get to his confidence. I asked Kenny Clark about just that progression he's seeing, and he said it reminds him of, you know, just being a young defensive lineman. He said he went through it. Like, his first year, Kenny Clark didn't have a sack, maybe had one sack. Like, he didn't do much his first year. And then he just slowly over the first couple of years got better, and then he became Kenny Clark.
Yeah.
You know, that's not uncommon for young defensive linemen. I think you might be seeing that with Lucas Van Ness here in his third NFL camp. With that said, it's camp. You want to see – he's got to do it in the regular season.
That's all it boils down to. Going back to the offense, I guess we didn't really talk much about Malik Willis since he was – QB1 during this joint practice. And I spent a little bit of time watching the defense. I saw, you know, a couple throws he threw, like a touchdown to Hicks and some guys like that. I don't know. And that was just a small sample size for me. From what you saw, you know, anything from Malik offensively?
Up and down.
Yeah.
Up and down. Kind of what we've seen in practice. The guy can make some dynamite throws into coverage that are very impressive. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, he can airmail it, throw it behind guys, you know. Usually, I mean, when he's accurate, he's really on the money in the hands. And then all of a sudden, you know, there's certain throws, easier throws, that he's got to put it in a different place. You know, he's got to put it in a better place. So that's kind of what I saw. Never know what it would be like if he was playing with Jaden Reed and all the other guys. Mm-hmm. But he's played with Julian Hicks a lot, so they have a good chemistry. He was still getting Musgrave and Kraft, you know, he still had them. you know, I want to watch him in a game, and the whole key for him is he's got to put the team in the end zone. You know, just keep driving and getting the team. It doesn't matter who you're playing, you know, who's playing with you. Get the team in the end zone. That's how you judge quarterbacks in the preseason.
Yeah, I want to ask you about the offensive line as well, because didn't you see some of the one-on-ones as well as some of the team stuff? A guy that I think we talked about this while watching, again, Jordan Morgan is still out there at left tackle, and you saw Rashid Walker do some one-on-ones as well. You know, what did you see with just some of the O-line and how that was kind of
Rashid Walker is back, so he took team reps, and that's the first time we've seen him do that since he injured his groin. And he and Jordan Morgan were kind of rotating, but Morgan went first. You know, the pass blocking was pretty good, and at first I was like, really? Wow, they're really doing well. And then I looked, and they weren't really sending their best pass rushers. Like, Brenson Buckner took, I think, one snap. Liatu took, like, two. You know, a bunch of their other guys, they were running a lot of their young guys against it. So, you know, Packers did fine. But it wasn't, you know, they weren't facing Philadelphia's front line or anything like that. So I think they're in a good spot. I think they've got that left tackle thing to figure out. Mm-hmm. And, you know, maybe, you know, Sean Ryan keeps, you know, they don't do much to take him out of it. And so you got to think he's in there too. I don't know.
Yeah. As far as I want to go back to the defense, because it's funny. It's like we talk about this guy, but then sometimes I don't even know if we talk about him enough, Edgerrin Cooper. Because we did talk to him in the locker room before heading to Indy. But then, I mean, we just watched him again. It's like every practice, every game, no matter what, he will just make one of those plays where he just can get to the backfield, have a tackle for loss, or do something that I'm just like, just wow. You know, that and moment, once again, he did that in practice.
Yeah, that moment came today when, you know, for whatever reason, Daniel Jones tried to run a keeper to Edgerrin Cooper's side. And you want to talk about the difference between someone running in quicksand and someone running on a sprinting track? Like, that's what it looked like. It was just like, what are you doing? Like, that's not, no. And, you know, it was a tackle for loss. So, and we just turned to each other. I was like, yeah, he's fast. Like, he's really fast. He's playing really well. He had that big practice earlier this week where he had the pick on Malik Willis. Mm-hmm. He blew up a screen to Emmanuel Wilson at the line of scrimmage. And I asked him, like, is that a difference in diagnosis between last year and this year? He's like, yeah, I mean, he's a step further than he was last year, just being able to read and trigger. And then he had the unblocked sack up the middle. He did not have a sack today. Quay Walker had a sack. Tyron Hopper had a sack. Like, that's one of the things about that we saw in the Packers pass rush today is that they were incorporating, like, the full gamut. It was the playbook. Like, that's what Jeff Hafley did last year. It wasn't just the front four. It's not just the defensive line. They're bringing the linebackers. Mm-hmm. So all that, and Edgerrin Cooper actually was not one of those that had a sack today. That's how dominant it was. But, yeah, he's in a good place. He's so dang fast. Yeah. And he plays really, really fast.
Yeah. We can wrap this up with just maybe one or two more points. I do want to bring up special teams, at least from the kicker's perspective. McManus continues to be McManus. But even Mark McNamee, the Irish kicker, he also had a clean day as well, didn't he?
They were perfect 8 for 8. McManus, God, I'm butchering our two names because of a Mac.
McManus,
you know.
A double Mac.
Hit all four. And to be fair, they were kicking with the wind. And when he hit the 56-yarder, I mean, it was up and in there. And then he went, and I didn't see it. I heard the crowd yell it, and then someone told me afterwards. But they lined up on the 70-yard line, or I'm sorry, on the 40-yard line, and someone held the ball. Whelan held the ball, and he kicked a 70-yarder, which is what the guy kicked from Jacksonville the other night, and he made it.
Yeah,
I hit the crossbar and then bounced over.
Just for dramatic effect, right?
Exactly.
Now I'm gonna say, that wind was pretty strong going that direction. But it was pretty funny to watch him. He got a good rise out of the crowd. So it was par for the course. McNamee hit the ball really solid. And so there's no kickers race here, but that was about it. I didn't see anything much else.
Yeah.
Can we go back for a second on Jordan Morgan? There's two things that I see, and I'm curious to get your guys' perspective too. But there's two things I've seen in the past week that has caused me to think, okay, I mean, I see something there. And I'm not crowning the guy, okay? It's early. But, like, I see something there at left tackle. One, he's really good at one-on-ones. Like, his quick feet, his ability to mirror and just erase speed rush, and he's got a strong enough anchor. He's really good at one-on-ones. And then what Lucas Van Ness did today. Because Lucas Van Ness has bullied Jordan Morgan at times. I mean, he had the sack on family night. Mm-hmm. He had a sack earlier this week in practice. And I don't know what to make of Lucas Van Ness. So I'm thinking, well, okay, what does that mean for Jordan Morgan? And then I see Lucas Van Ness just completely embarrass the Colts offensive line, which is, you know, not a good offensive line, but still, that is an NFL offensive line. So it's not just Jordan Morgan that Lucas Van Ness is playing well against. Those two things, I start to, okay, maybe there's something there, right? Like, I wonder where that's going to go, but I just want to throw that out there.
For Jordan Morgan, especially?
Yeah, for Jordan Morgan.
Well, he's a first-round pick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He should be impressive physically. Mm-hmm. And he is. He had, you know, he was the most athletic tackle coming out of that class. But, you know, he doesn't have the really long arms that Rasheed Walker has to push speed rushers off the edge. I don't know what they decide. You know, they can't just hand it to him.
No.
I mean, you got to give Rasheed Walker a chance. At least he started too many games not to give him a chance. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you also have to look at the upside with Morgan. And if he's that athletic and you believe that his short arms aren't going to be a problem, then you got to do something with him.
Like, they have to give it to whoever wins, whoever's the best left tackle, because at the end of the day, your franchise can't get killed. Mm-hmm. Like, you got to protect your franchise, and that means protecting Jordan Love's blindside. So whoever's the best tackle has to play more. But you also do need to develop Jordan Morgan. I talked to Jordan Morgan this week. He said that the plan for the rest of the camp is left tackle. Like, that's where he's – and he did not hide his joy about that. Like, last year was really tough for him as a rookie. Not just the injury, not just the shoulder, but he didn't feel like he had a home. Like, he finds out, you know, sometime before camp, okay, it's going to be guard, which he had never played in college. And there's an off-the-field aspect to this, too, where he was very transparent about, like, he came to the Green Bay Packers from Arizona, from a basketball state, where he didn't really face pressure, and now you're the first-round pick for the Green Bay Packers, and there's heavy expectations there. And, oh, by the way, now change positions. Like, there was a lot there. Now he can just be at left tackle, which is what he played all through college, and it's where he's comfortable at. Short arms or not, that's where he feels at home. And I think that you're seeing that. I'm not saying that he's better than Rasheed Walker right now. And if he's not, that has to be what's precedent, because protecting Jordan Love is the number one priority on the field, regardless for this football team. But
you see the potential.
You have to develop him too.
Yeah, you see the potential. I think one thing, and he kind of talked about this in the locker room, which a lot of people don't think about, you know, when you're inside at guard compared to tackle, how you line up is different. Yeah. Like, how, you know, one at guard, your hand is down. At tackle, you're up. Just, there's so many different little things that you have to pick up on. And in ways, it almost reminds me of, like, Javon Buller for defense. It's like he was at nickel. He was at safety. Like, your mind is racing trying to figure out several positions. So maybe that could have been a thing for Jordan Morgan. So
guard is a faster game inside. You're blocking different bodies than you're used to blocking. There's different things going through your mind. Different angles. It's an entirely different position. So, yeah, and you're a rookie. Right?
Yeah, and as a young guy, right? If it's Elton Jenkins, I mean, he's like a unicorn. You can just throw him anywhere on the O-line and he'll produce. But, you know, it's like there is a learning curve for young guys.
Yeah, and the other part is he's healthy. He had a bad shoulder all last year. I mean, all through training camp, he tried to play through it. He had a harness, you know, and then they just decided to shut him down. And so he never really saw the best of him last year. And now I think he's seen healthy. He put on some weight. He looks a lot stouter than he did last year. and didn't lose any athleticism. If I had to guess, I'd say they're going to rotate to start the season.
Yeah, I think I wouldn't blame them at all.
The best of both worlds, you know. I mean, if you have maybe the more secure guy, the more consistent guy, Rashid Walker, which is important, you get more of those snaps, but still get enough snaps to develop Jordan Morgan, because that does also have to be a priority.
Yeah, Rashid Walker can be kind of a nasty blocker, too. He can be a nasty run blocker, and he can get out and get to the second level. So, yeah, it might be dependent on the series, might be dependent on the opponent. You know, we'll see.
Yeah, because, I mean, Adam Sinovich even said, he's like, we might rotate six guys if we have to, and he said he doesn't care if that's how they do it. So it'll definitely be something to keep an eye out on for really the next few weeks. So, guys, I think that's all we got. And we can go and cool down for a little bit. And
AC is so nice. I love air conditioning.
It is great.
I love it so much.
It is great. But we do thank you all for checking out the Green 19 podcast. Obviously, the joint practice went on this Thursday. And on Saturday, they'll have more of the preseason action against the Colts. I guess that's set for 1 o'clock Eastern time, noon Central time, I'm pretty sure.
Glad you told me.
Yeah,
I might even be wrong.
No, you're right. Noon Central Time. And let me put in a plug that the live blog will be back on Saturday with a new format,
yes,
which I think it'll work out okay. We did a test run today. We're going to do another test run tomorrow. And one way or the other, I'll make it work. So come on back and get ready to fire somebody on Saturday.
That's right. Yeah, get ready for all the comments. I can't wait to see them. So, especially during halftime of every game, I would go and just look at the blog comments to see what people say. And
Spoon,
it's fun.
Who do they want to fire on Saturday? Who's your pick?
Well, they wanted to fire Halfley when the Jets moved right down the field to score.
Yeah.
And then they wanted to fire LaFleur for the pathetic performance of the entire team.
Yes.
And so
it's always interesting. Like, yeah. who's the fire this guy of the week in the preseason? Like, it's always a distinguished honor.
You'll get at least one fire capers throughout the whole block as well.
Oh, that's
some hashtags never die.
Yeah, there was a fire Gutekunst out there, too, after I forgot one player got hurt. So you need fire Gutekunst because he keeps drafting all these players that get injured. He can't evaluate healthy players. So
boy, yeah. Brian Gutekunst had that kind of power.
Yeah, I know it. So that's what's coming on the blog. So I look forward to that. So I don't know if the game on Saturday will be very entertaining because it'll be back up. So.
Well, it'll be entertaining on the blog.
The blog will. I'm ready for it. Thank you guys as always so much for this week's podcast. For Ryan Wood, Tom Silverstein, I'm Dominique Yates.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.